Oh, I love that. I love that.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Feed Me Your Construction Content. I'm Carolyn McMahon.
And I'm Joshua McMahon.
Let's do this, babe.
If only y'all knew.
Not that kind of do this.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. No.
Let's get into this one. So not that long ago, I did a webinar with ECI that I put together a webinar, and I wanted to talk about, here's the title, Profitability Unleashed, Transforming Futures Through Partnerships.
Oh.
It's like a foreign concept.
Unleashing profitability?
That's exactly right. The profitability is right there if we would just figure out how to let it loose. Who let the dogs loose?
Okay, well.
Same? No.
No, that's bad.
Let's start with the obvious statistics that everybody is sick and tired of hearing. We're 500,000 people short in the construction industry. 500,000. That doesn't even take into consideration the number of people that are leaving and naturally need to enter the workplace. So we're greater than 500,000 short. Everybody already knows that, so I'm not telling you anything. Why do I think that's important? Because I think there's never been a better time to be in the industry, and we've talked about this in the past.
So how does that help you unleash your profitability?
You've got to create these partnerships. So how do we create partnerships? If you have less people to do the work, then you have to partner up. Teams that are successful in the NBA or NFL or any other sport, they're successful because they operate as a team. They operate like partners. They don't always agree on things, but they have the common goal. They know where they're going. They know what their vision is.
Oh, here we go. The vivid vision.
But for them, it's the promised land. It's the raising the trophy. It's the accolades. It's the ring. It's all of those things. But what is it for us? What are we chasing?
I mean, I think we're just chasing our next closing, right?
we're chasing closings.
And the next one and the next one.
We're junkies for closings. And none of us are in this business because, well, we just love doing it. We won the lottery, but we just want to keep doing it.
Oh, I would totally go back to work. If I won the lottery.
The reality is neither one of us would ever stop working, even if we had millions in the bank, because we really do love what we're doing. If we didn't love what we were doing, we wouldn't be on this podcast.
True.
Right? Because the haters and the people who talk down or think this is, you know, stupid or whatever we're doing.
Who thinks this is stupid?
There are people who use this kind of thing against you, believe it or not. And those people, sometimes they win. And you don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think you talked about it earlier. Are you ready to throw it in, throw the towel in? I'm like, not yet. Keep going.
Well, I was definitely there. Been there for the last week, you know, because there's some people that are bringing me down on that stuff. And anyways, start with your vision. We've talked about the vivid vision. What is your vision as a business and where are you going? Because when you have a vision, isn't it easier for you to get on board and really embrace what you're doing?
I would imagine so. And, you know, it's like your guiding force, right? What are we doing every day to satisfy or get closer to that vision? Does it get us closer?
That's exactly right. I mean, do you have a 3-year goal, a 1-year goal to get you to the 3-year goal? Then you have quarterly goals to get to the yearly goal. Right. And all of those goals, you have to know where you're going and why you're going there. If I gave you the assignment of, I want you to drive from here to New Mexico, and you had no idea how to get to New Mexico, and you didn't have a map, and you didn't have technology, how the heck would you get there? You know where you're going, you just have no idea how to get there. So you're just going to run around in circles.
That's loaded, because if you're a man, you would never ask for directions.
So you'd never get there, which is why.
And then you'd always have a woman going, well, how are you going to get there? And then you're just like, well, F it, I'm just not going.
That's exactly right. That's what happens, which is why you need a vision or someone to create a vision that helps you get to that destination.
Okay.
So as we think about this, we've talked about vision on numerous episodes. We've had several parts where we talked about the importance of vision. Now that we're fast forwarding 3 months from those segments, how many of you listening have your vision? The company you work for has a vision. Do you know where you're going as a company, or are you still just showing up and just collecting a paycheck? And that's not a dig on you. It's not a dig on your company. I think it's important for the companies to have a vision. And if you don't, challenge your leadership to say, where are we going as a company? Because they might have a vision and they're not sharing it all the way down. But what if you did know what that vision was? How does that help you improve what you're doing? Especially when you start talking about goals, your individual goals can still align with the company goals.
Well, I'd say oftentimes they work together, right? If a company wants to, you know, achieve a certain amount of margin, great, I'm all in, because you know what? You've put out the message that if, you know, you exceed your goal margin by X, and now there's going to be like this profit sharing, this pool. Heck yeah, I'm in. And that's now right. I'm aligned with what the company wants to do, and I'm incentivized to do it, and I'm excited.
And the best part of it is you're going to create your individual goals to help you reach that milestone. You're going to create goals to help you get to the company goal, which makes that executive that much more successful of hitting their goals.
Right.
Everybody wins when we're all chasing the same vision. Brand identity. I mean, you think about brands out there, and what type of car do you want to drive? What type of jeans do you want to wear? People start to associate with brands when you get to a certain status or you have certain money. I mean, I want to have a pair of Air Jordans, right? I love the brand and what it represents. But what do you say?
That you would look like a douche.
I'm not cool enough
You're
to wear
not
Jordans.
Cool enough.
It's so ridiculous.
You are not. Maybe, I don't know, you can go back and wear some Jordache or something. Not Jordan, Jordache.
So it helps you with your brand identity. You as a builder, you as a company, what is your brand? What do you stand for? It helps you with decision making. When you have a vision and goals, it helps you really make the right decisions. The right decision is not always the easy decision. But if you don't know where you're going, you're going to make the decision that's the easiest in the moment to move it forward, but it might set you back further if you don't know where you're going. Resource allocation. Why is that important? If we're 500,000 people short, resources, people is a resource. It's vital. You need to make sure you're investing and deploying your resources in the right spaces, or it could further set you back. You've got to know where are we going and what is the most important thing. We talked a little bit about punch individuals earlier today. Well, if you're working on houses and you're chasing that next closing, where do you think your punch team is going? To that next closing. They're going to be focused on what's next. But if the punch crew isn't aligned with the vision and the goals of the company, they might say, yeah, I know I need to go do that one, but this house over here is a hell of a lot less work. And nobody's going to see what I'm doing, so I'm going to go over here. There's a problem, right? Your resources are not aligned where they need to be. So we've beat to death this need for vision and goals. And I think the last two things that you really get when you dial these things in is going to be customer satisfaction and quality assurance. And I think it goes without saying, right? Because if you have your brand identity, people trust your brand. They know what you're doing. So trust is important. If you have a punch item and they trust you, they trust that you're going to come back and fix it. They trust that you've already identified it. But if the opposite is true and your brand is weak and they don't trust you, they're going to micromanage the shit out of you.
It's tough because, you know, you're dealing with that.
I am dealing with that. And that's ironic that micromanagement is an MM. Inside joke, maybe.
Yeah. So, right. It's tough because, you know, with us, we have a very strong brand in the market. And, you know, when you build new homes, there's always a punch list. There's always this list that survives closing. Right. And, you know, it's a contractual document, but still people are fearful, right? That you're not going to come back. You're not going to do the things. But if you've dealt with each benchmark in the project, you know, you've treated them well, you fulfilled everything that you're going to say you're going to do up to that point, then they have no reason not to trust you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think having a strong brand helps you with that stuff and it helps you overcome it. So the customer is not putting an unnecessary tax on you, right, to where you have to stop everything you're doing to answer 50,000 questions only for them to tell you, I disagree with what you're saying.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't understand why you disagree with me. You're not even in this industry. How do you know more than I do already? Was that HGTV? Okay, thanks. You know, I think you need a different education than just HGTV or you've worked on a job site before. There's a lot more to this industry. So now that we've got this vision and goals aligned, why is that important? Why did I want to start this segment with that? Because as we start thinking about, you've got new communities coming on board, you've got new houses to start. Well, who are you going to align yourself with to do the work? Which trades are you going to align with? And I think it's important that we identify what our vision is and what our goals are, and then we talk to our trades to make sure that they are aligned with who we are and what we stand for. Our brand is important. If trade XYZ wants to do my work, you have to understand the importance of my brand. You have to understand the vision and where I'm going and what my goals are. And if you say, hey, I don't really give a crap, I'm just here for the money, well, you're probably not the trade I want to partner with, right? Because that's not a partnership. That's just a transaction, and we're not interested in that.
Right. That's part of our shtick, you know, where I work, is that our trades have been with us for so long because they are committed to us and such. We're committed to them. You know, sometimes that can bite you in the ass, right? But yes. At the same time, it does speak volumes when you do align yourself with those folks that you hope have the same goals as you. We don't seek out the cheapest subtrade to do the work.
Right.
You know, I think that that's sometimes this reputation that we get, that we're, you know, we as in the builder, mm-hmm. right, that you're just only looking for the cheapest. And it's like, no, we're not, because we're not the cheapest builder. Why would we do that?
Yeah, and I think some builders are looking for the cheapest. Some builders are looking for that value proposition, and that's just who they are, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You just have to know who you are as a trade and who you are as a builder, and make sure you align those two correctly.
Right.
Because a misalignment with that, and I would even use it as, if I'm a custom home builder and I'm hiring predominantly production trades, the quality of work I'm going to get is going to be production level. That's not to say there's an issue with production level quality. It's just to say that there might be a misalignment with expectations that the builder and the customer have.
Right. And whether it's fair or not, you never go into it and say, well, gosh, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, you're buying, you know, a production level home at this price. You're going to expect production level quality. I mean, no one ever says that.
No, that's right.
It's implied, and you want to say it.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's not even implied, because we don't share anything. We don't tell them what the expectations are going to be. We show them, if we have a model home, we say, here's the model home. This is our level of quality. This is what we do. And the model, you put your best foot forward. That's your example.
Oh, yeah. And you touch it up 1,000 times. You know, you rip out things, you redo it.
Sure. You want it to be perfect.
Right. It's almost like these magazine shoots that they do. And it's like, I'm sorry, that's not real.
Not always. I mean, we need to build to an industry standard, which we've talked about. There's a standard that we have to build to, and that's what we do. Yes, we try to exceed that. And I'm not talking about building code. We're not building the building code. I'm saying we're building to an industry standard. Walls are not going to be dead nuts plumb. Perfect. Perfect doesn't exist. There's a standard. There's a standard for building cars. There's an acceptable allowance of, like,
it's tolerance, right?
Yeah, there's a tolerance. Thank you. There's a tolerance for what we do. Every single component has a tolerance.
Right. If you're building with a wood product, there's a tolerance with the wood. There's a tolerance the way it moves. If you're dealing with natural products, it's inevitable.
It is. And that's why we have to have the industry standards. Every manufacturer has standards. So their standards have to be met when you do the installation. If you install it correctly, there's standards and there's tolerances for the acceptable tolerance for the install. And we have to uphold that.
Right.
We're going to wrap this episode up. The critical thing that we want you to get out of this one is vision and goals. Do we have a clear vision? Do we understand what our goals are? And then are we finding the right trades that align with our vision and goals? And next week, in part two of this series, we're going to talk about what that looks like. The mutual fit. What happens when we don't have a mutual fit? How we deal with trades that might be the right trade for today, but not the right trade for tomorrow? And how we navigate that, and what we start doing, and how do you really take and unleash your profitability through trade partnerships? How do we do that? So we've started by vision and goals. Next step is the fit between us and the trades.
All right. Looking for that perfect fit.
Yeah, you are.
I found it.
See you next week.
See ya.
Maybe. Yeah.